In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, pray for us. Our Lady of the Immaculate Heart, pray for us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on volume 12, May 8th, 1919. So Jesus begins, "Now creatures were incapable of penetrating into my interior and making me satisfied through pains the glory of the Father that they had denied to him with so many offenses of their interior." So here, Jesus is saying that humanity, with the original sin, were incapable of penetrating into the interior of God to satisfy through their pains the glory that the Father, that Adam had denied him by the original sin, and since then, so many offenses in our interior. And he says, so that's the first thing we have to understand. No human could have satisfied the rebellion of Adam against God. Nobody could have done it except God. So he says, more so, since these offenses wounded the noblest part of the creature. What is the noblest part of us? It's our intellect, memory, and will. The three powers that God has given us, in which the divine image is imprinted. Okay, so here Jesus is telling us that our intellect, our memory, and will are going to be brought back to its original state, so that our intellect, we begin to see things from a divine perspective. Our memory is that we remember God. And how do we do this? How do we remember the triune God? Jesus says it will be through linking ourselves, fusing ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And then the human will be able to begin to live this abundant life. So we're called to return to the divine image, to be regenerated into that divine image. And this is the whole reason for the Book of Heaven. We've learned from the saints how to do the will of God in a saintly human way. But now Jesus is saying, "I want you to share in my divinity." This is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. By putting the drop of water into the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. So our Lord has got great plans. And the plan is to go back to the origin, to what God wanted from the beginning. When he breathed that ruah of God, that breath of God, into the dust, and what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And when Adam sinned, we've fallen into this misery ever since, where we don't know what's good. We don't know what's bad. We think things are good. We think things are bad. But we, since we entered into that tree of knowledge of good and evil, we're totally confused. And that's why many people begin, if you want to say, looking for the things of the earth to give happiness to. This will give us happiness if we only did this, if we only thought this way, if we only acted this way, if we believe this. And the church shows us through the sacraments and sacramentals how to turn back to God. The saints said, okay, we're going to learn how to do the will of God. And that's what the saints have told us for the last 2,000 years. And now Jesus says, now I want you to begin to live this abundant life that God has done, so that we will be capable of penetrating into the interior of God. And how do we do this now? Through pains, to give back the glory that Adam had denied the Father with our so many offenses. So what is happening as we read the Book of Heaven, and this is the reason why we read the Book of Heaven, when you become a third order Benedictine, you say, I'm going to spend at least 30 minutes of reading every day. That's your promise. That's your personal promise to Jesus. This is what you do when you become a third order Benedictine. Now, sometimes what happens is you have a plan okay, I'm going to do the rounds for an hour. I'm going to do the rounds for 15 minutes. I'm going to pray the Passion of the Christ for 15 minutes. I'm going to pray the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom for 15 minutes. You're saying to God, this is my plans, and things might get in your way. Okay. So what Jesus is saying is what you have read, okay, begin to live it. And to get more of this, how to live in the will of God, continue to read. And there will be days where you'll be overwhelmed with other things, emergencies, things like that. But our promise is to Jesus that we read, we study, we put this into practice. This is our promise to him. Why? So that our intellect, memory, and will re-again enter into the divine image that God breathed into Adam, that God wants to breathe into us. So volume 12, 124, 20. If in creating Adam, I said, it is not good for man to be alone, let us make another creature who may resemble him and keep him company. He says, if I've done this so that one may form the delight of the other, these same words, Jesus says, that I spoke to Adam, my love, before creating Adam, he says, I do not want to be alone, Jesus, God says. I don't want to be alone. The triune God, he's not lonely. He wants to share his divinity with us. But I want humanity in my company. So he's going to marry the church collectively, but he came to earth for a bride. He came to earth to find a bride. I want each human being to be my bride. So collectively, he's going to marry the church, but individually, he wants to marry us. I want to create mankind, humanity, in order to amuse myself with him, to share with humanity all my contentments. With his company, I shall pour myself out in love. This is why I made Adam in my likeness. So it's not only the image, but the likeness. As his intellect thinks of me, as his intellect is occupied with me, so he keeps me company. He says, company with my divine wisdom. So what God is doing with us is he's leading, at guiding, and helping us to begin to live this abundant life in God's divine wisdom. As though my thoughts keep company with his, we amuse ourselves together. If his gaze looks at me, at created things, this is all of creation, in order to love me. See, that's why that's why you fuse yourself with creation. Everything in creation is an I love you from God. We want to participate in that. We want to breathe in this I love you with our eyes, our ears, our heart, our mind, our soul. Breathe in this I love you to give back to God his divine I love you. He says, if his gaze looks at me, at created things, in order to love me, I, God, feel the company of his gaze. If his tongue prays, teaches what is good, I, Jesus, feel the company of his voice. If his heart loves me, I, God, feel the company in my divine love, and so with all the rest. So here, Jesus is showing us that it's not human love. This is why we all have to go through the test of Abraham. What was the test of Abraham? God said to Abraham, you know, I promise you, I will give you a child. I promise you that it will be as fruitful as the sands on the shore or the stars in the sky. I promise you. And then he says to Abraham, sacrifice your son. And Abraham's immediate response is yes, fiat. Why? I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. The same thing goes with us. We have to go through that test of Abraham, where the thing that you love the most, you have to give up. The thing that you love the most, you have to surrender to God and say, I trust you. I trust you. This sacrifice of Abraham is necessary to begin to live. So what in your life is something that you don't want to give up? What in your life is something of the earth Is it chocolate? I love chocolate. I'm not going to, no. Is it, what do you love so much that you can't give up? Is it your memory of what people have said, people have done against you, against your family, against your nation? What is it that you want to, that you love, that God is saying to you, for you to get closer to me, that's got to be out of the way. You've got to trust me more. You've got to believe in me more. You have to have confidence in me more. Jesus says, when we go through that test of Abraham, good things come. Now, at first, people say, well, why do I have to do that? God knows I love him. Why do I? Because he says, prove it to me. That doesn't mean you hate your family. That doesn't mean you leave your spouse. It means that you love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul and strength. That's what it means. Lord, you are first in my life. Yes, there's things that you have given me that I love, but I surrender them all to you because you are the one that I love more than anything else. This is why we did the consecration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus yesterday, all day long. This is why we're doing the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary all day long. Why? It's the true life of Jesus and Mary that we're going to live. That's what they're giving to us. And how is God doing that? The way they gave it to Louisa. So Jesus says this, Volume 12, 6:2, 19:20. He says very, very clearly, this is the cause of your pains. Now he's going to show us why we're suffering. And the abyss that you see, it is likeness to me. It is true that your state is too painful. This is what we're going through. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings. But it's always pains of Jesus. Jesus has already gone through all of that pain. And I, God, in order to give you strength, shall hold you tightly from behind your shoulders, that while keeping you safer, I give greater intensity to your pains. In fact, if I kept you in front of me by merely seeing me, my arms close around you, your pain would be halved and my likeness would be achieved at a later date. There has to be that sacrifice of Abraham. Now, each and every one of us has to go through that. And we're going to see that when we get to heaven, what suffering means. We're going to understand the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We're going to see why they suffered. We're going to see why the newborn, Louisa, suffered so much, what it brings about. And we will, all of us will say, when we're shown this, let me go back to earth, suffer. And God will say to each and every one of us, you had your opportunity. You didn't take that opportunity that I gave you, God gave you. Again, this is the cause of your pains in the abyss that you see. It is likeness to me. It is true that your state is painful, but it is always a pain for your Jesus. He went through it first. And I, in order to give you strength, shall hold you tightly from behind your shoulders, that while keeping you safer, I will give greater intensity to your pain. The surrender to say to God, as Abraham did, I will sacrifice my son. The more God goes, good. That's God. The Father sacrificed his son. Mary sacrificed her son. Unless Jesus died on the cross, we would all be dead. Never, never have the beatific vision. See, he says, in fact, if I kept you in front of me, merely seeing my arms close to you, your pain would be halved and my likeness would be achieved later on. God wants it now. So what does he ask of us? He asks us to be victim souls. What does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts. Trusting in him, believing in him. Confidence in him. This is what God is looking for. Volume 12, 6, 10, 19, 20. Now, the soul whom I call to my likeness, that's each and every one of us, I place the same condition in which I placed my own holy humanity. Therefore, I myself am your prop. My own arms are your support. I make you live in my arms, suspended in the air. Only things of strict necessity can reach you. For one who lives in my holy divine will, you are attached from everyone. All for me, everything more than the strict necessities are vile things and degrading herself from her divine nobility. Listen to what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I place my own humanity. This is what you're going to live. Well, what did Jesus do? He did not give life to his holy humanity. His holy humanity was found only in the divine will. Our Lady, fiat mihi. Jesus says she did not give life to one instant of doing her human will. He says, I make you live in my arms. My own arms are your support. He says, you're suspended in the air between heaven and earth. Who was suspended in the air between heaven and earth? Jesus. He says, for one who lives in my divine will, you will be detached from everyone. That doesn't mean you're a hermit. That doesn't mean you're isolated. It means your whole heart, mind, and soul are one with God as Adam was one with God, as Jesus was one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, as Mary was one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you look at Mary, what do you see? She is the daughter of the Father. She's the mother of the Son. She's the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. That's Our Lady. That's our Blessed Mother. That's what God is saying to us. For the one who lives in my divine will, you'll be detached from everyone. All for me. All for God. Anything more than strict necessities are vile things and degrading herself from her divine nobility. And if human supports are given to her, she senses the stench of the human, and she drives herself away from them. See, this is, I hear it all the time. I'm alone. I'm suffering. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. And Jesus says, I am the one that is allowing you to go through this. I'm freeing you of yourself, of what you are relying on, so that you only rely on me and me alone, Jesus says. That's why Jesus says, in the divine will, there will be very few souls who will at first live in the divine will. Why? It's to give up everything. Like, I remember when I was in the seminary, this is the minor seminary, back in 1964, a priest came in and gave us a retreat, and he said, give up something for Lent, and then stick to it. He says, by the time you're 80, you would have given up everything that you love. And all that you will have is God. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. If human supports are given to her, the sense of stench of the human is there. And you don't want that anymore. You want, that's why I said about like incense. You want the aura, the aroma of heaven. You want to see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You want to hear the Gospels proclaimed. You want to touch, you know, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, holding hands with someone, your family, especially, I mean, at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He says, I am there. You're holding on to me, Jesus says. Where two or three are gathered, I am present. God is going to ask us, and this is what we're going through, I love Saint Joan of Arc, a 13-year-old girl who God spoke to year after year after year until finally she said, okay. And once she said, okay, what happened? She led the French army against the English army and won. And she said, I was born for this time. You have to remember, we were born for this time. And God is asking us to enter into his image and likeness. He didn't give this to the saints. The saints were doing the will of God. But the likeness of the will of God is now given to us because of what Jesus taught Louisa. He says it very, very clearly. Volume 12, 6, 22, 1920. My daughter, why do you want to move away from my divine likeness? I never thought about myself. The sanctity of my holy humanity was complete absence of self-interest. I did nothing for myself, but I did what I did and suffered everything for humanity. My love can be called true because it is marked by disinterest for my own self. Wherever there is interest, it cannot be said that there is a font of truth. Okay, so when I look at people who are religious and they say to me, I don't want the divine will. And I go, why? And they say, because it's not according to what I want. I want to be good and holy and saintly. And what happens to my life if I enter the divine will? All this time that I spent praying and sacrificing and penance, what happens to my life? Self-interest. God, it's to be like Jesus. Disinterested. This holy indifference. Wherever there is interest, it cannot be said that there is a font of truth. This is what God is giving to us, is not doing the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. But living in the will, divine will, as Jesus and Mary did. That's what they gave to Louisa, to enter into this font of truth. So each time, volume 13, 7, 14, 19, 22, 19, 21. So each time the soul enters into the rays, these rays of divine light, of the divine will, so many divine qualities does the soul receive. That's the sixth step that Our Lady taught Louisa on the sixth day. We're going to enter these rays of the divine will so that we will participate in the divine qualities of God. Oh, how many varieties, variety beauties, how many livelinesses of colors, how many divine frequencies that she acquires. If these souls could be seen by other creatures, these souls would form the paradise for everyone on earth. So great is their beauty because they are my reflectors. They are my true images. So what is Jesus saying to us? He says, every time you enter into the rays of the divine will, every time you read, you're becoming a divine reflector of God. God is doing this. As he speaks these words, the words that Louisa wrote down from Jesus himself, the word of God, these rays of light are entering into the souls to give to everyone around you. This, as he says, the reflectors, the true image of God. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity, which the priest puts in the drop of water, that drop of nothing enters into that cup filled with wine, infuses and diffuses and becomes wine. You see why God is saying to us, I want you to give up everything that is human so that you can begin to share in the divine. So when things go wrong or supposedly wrong, we're supposed to say, thank you, Jesus. Okay, you're doing this for a reason. I have some plans, but you're showing me something different. I want to obey. I want to follow. Volume 13, 10, 6, 19, 21. How beautiful, gracious, attentive, lovable, striking is the soul in grace in doing good. This is saintly. So much so that I myself remain enamored by that soul. Each good that the soul does is one more shade of the beauty that the soul acquires. It is a greater likeness to his God that makes him to be distinguished as God's child. It is a divine power that he puts in circulation. Every good that the soul does is a spokesman between heaven and earth. They are the couriers, the electric wires that maintain the communication with God. This communion with God. This is how we're supposed to live. He says, you know, think about it. This is doing the will of God. Now, volume 13, 11, 4, 21. Now, this is how I want the divine sanctity with the creature, between her and me. Because between the two of us, I on one side, the soul on the other, giving me my life, communicating my divine sanctity to the soul as her faithful companion, the soul receives it as my faithful and inseparable companion. This is, in Hebrew it says, Adam from his side. Adam and Eve were, this is a way of explaining it, we're next to each other. And when that came from his side, he could look at Eve and he says, here is the bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. From my side, she came. This is what Jesus is going to show us. Something amazing. But it's going to be God that he's going to show us. It is a greater likeness to his creator that makes him to be distinguished as God's child, a divine power he puts in circulation. See, God wants to marry us. As he said earlier, I want a companion to be with Adam. He wants to be our companion. Every good deed that he's spoken, he says, now this, I want a divine sanctity in the soul between the two of us, I on one side and the soul on the other, giving my divine life and communicating my divine sanctity as her faithful companion, married to God. And the soul receive it as my faithful and inseparable companion. In this way, the soul would be the eye that sees, the sun, and I the sun that give her light. She the mouth, and I the word. She the hands, and I the one who administers the work to her, let her operate. She the foot, I the step. She the heart, I the heartbeat. But do you know who forms this divine sanctity? My divine will alone. Divine sanctity. This is what God is. He's ready to do this. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's the end of this era. The new era has begun. And why the doom and gloom? If this is what God has planned. My divine will alone is what maintains the purpose of creation in order, divine order. The divine sanctity by divine will is that which maintains perfect balance between God and man. These are the true images that came out of me. The little children of the holy divine will. That's what's coming. Now you have to remember this. What's coming to the earth, Jesus said to Louisa, four things. Number one, there will be a great chastisement where a large majority of humanity will be gone from the face of the earth. Number two, he says, my mother is marking all the little children, the holy divine will, and no harm can come to them. Number three, the little children, the holy divine will, who are marked by my mother, Jesus says, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And number four, he says, the survivors of this great chastisement are going to be the little children, the holy divine will. Why? Because they're preparing for the kingdom. We're not focused on the things of this earth. We're focused on the kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth. This dust on earth. Breathe in me as you breathed into Adam. Why? This is what God wants. Your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. So that Jesus said, there'll be no difference between heaven and earth. These are the true images that came out of me, Jesus says. Volume 13, 11, 20, 12, 11, 12, 21. Now, the divine sanctity of my divine will, symbolized by the sun in the sky, shall come out from the center of my divine sanctity. It shall be a divine ray delivered by my divine sanctity that has no beginning. This is the great event that's coming. This is the great event. So these souls existed in my divine sanctity. They exist and they shall exist. Why? There's no There's no past or future. It's to enter into this abundant life, the life of the divine will. They, listen to what Jesus says, were together with me in the good that I, Jesus, did on earth. They never went out of the ray in which I, Jesus, had issued them to the light of day. They were born, Jesus says, to be one with me, as they never departed from my divine will. Now, our job, again, like I said before, when you see something wrong, evil, sinful, we say to God, thank you for showing this to me. Thank you for making me aware of this. And Lord, it's offending you, and I'm so sorry that you are being offended by this. And Lord, I want to repair and redo this as if it never happened. The face of the earth is being transformed, transmuted. God is getting ready. Why? For the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. We're the ones that fulfill the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated, and then you will renew the face of the earth through us. This is what God's got planned. And he's asked us to live at this time as he asked Joan of Arc to live at her time, to fight, not for the King of France, but fight for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his mother and queen. The new heavens and the new earth are close. As they never departed from my divine will, I amuse myself with them and I still do. My union with them is permanent. Everything has been repaired. In this divine sanctity, I, God, see my shadows, my images hovering over the whole earth, in the air and in heaven. And this is why I love and shall love the world, because I am waiting for my divine sanctity to have its echo upon earth, for my divine rays to come out to the light in order to give me, God, complete glory, returning to me, God, the love and the honor that all the other people have not given me. That's our job, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's going to look, this is what Jesus said, as if Adam never sinned. Everything will be repaired. Everything will be repaired. And the evil one will be in the pit of hell with his tail between his legs, knowing that he could not stop what God has planned. For all eternity, he's going to know this. Total failure. We are the ones that God is calling to repair and redo. But it has to start with us. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts, no more sin. Trusting in Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. What did he say to St. Faustina? Jesus says, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return will be divine mercy. We have the final devotion. Why? As Our Lady said it to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the era of the evil one. The new era has begun. Volume 13, 1126, 1921. My holy humanity would not move, nor would it have life, if it was not animated by the divine will of my Father. And I would have contented myself with dying 1,000 times rather than take one breath without his divine will. With this, I tied again the human will with the divine. He's the new Adam. And in my person alone, I being the true man and true God, I return to my Father all the glory and all the rights that befitted him. But my divine will and my divine love do not want to be alone. In my divine works, they want to make other images similar to me. That's what God has planned with us. That's what he wants from us. Cut that out and put that on your mirror in the bathroom. Volume 13, 11, 28, 19, 21. I see the little daughter of my divine will that together with me runs and remains still. Luisa has no feet, but she's the step of every human. She has no hands, but she is the motion of all human works. She has no eyes, but in the light of my divine will, she is more than eyes and more than light for every human being, past, present, and future. She, Jesus says, is the first person born of original sin that now has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This is Louisa. This is why Jesus said to her, write everything down, everything I'm teaching you, because then those that want this gift will also possess it. That's what Jesus is waiting for. Oh, how well she, Louisa, imitates her creator. How Louisa renders herself similar to me. Only in my divine will can there be true imitation. I read the Imitation of Christ in the Minor Seminary. It was beautiful. It can't compare to what Jesus is teaching us now. The imitation of Christ. True imitation of Christ. I hear my most sweet and creative voice resound in my ear. Let us make man in our image and likeness. And with unending joy, I say, here are my images, the little children of the holy divine will. Here are the rights of creation are given back to me. The purpose which I, God, created Adam is now completed. I have souls that live the life that I have created. It's not fully yet. It's not fully yet because the great day hasn't happened. Oh, how happy I am. I call all of heaven and all of earth to make feast. 5:13:2:2:2:2. My daughter, the seed is cast into the earth. The earth germinates and multiplies the seed that was sown. My divine will extends more than earth. My divine will casts the seed of my volition into souls, and it makes many other images similar to me germinate and multiply. My volition germinates my children and multiplies them. That's the answer to Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you, Lucifer, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Women don't have seed. Jesus explains, this is the divine will. This is what's coming upon the earth. You're not going to win, evil one. God wins. See, this is why we are joy-filled. God is showing us the victory. He's showing us the triumph of him crucified. And now a new beginning is coming. Now we're going to be sanctified. The divine will makes many other images similar to me germinate and multiply. My divine will, listen to this, germinates my children and multiplies them. God is doing this. Fulfilling Genesis 3:15. Volume 14:4:8:19:22. My daughter, my sorrow was great and incomprehensible to created mind, especially when I saw the human intelligence deformed, the beautiful image of me that I, God, reproduced in it, no longer beautiful, but ugly and horrid. That's our mind. God is going to recreate it. I endowed the soul with the human will, intellect, memory, in which the first shone my celestial father, who as first act communicated his divine power, his divine sanctity, his divine height, by which he elevated the human will, investing the human will with his own divine sanctity, power, and nobility, leaving all currents open between himself and the human will, so that the human will might be enriched more and more with the divine treasures of my divinity. Between the human will and the divine, there was neither yours or mine, but everything was in common with mutual accord. This is marriage. It was our image, our own thing. So it veiled us. Our divine life was to be its own, the human's own. Therefore, as first act, God constituted the human will, free and independent, just as it is. The first act was the will of my celestial father. So we use our free will to choose. Do I want to continue to live in my human misery where I have to go to confession each week? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. Are we still going to live this life? Or are we going to choose using our free will to live in God's holy divine will? That's what God is asking. That's what God is wanting to know. Volume 14, 413, 1922. Now, do you know what our divine will is? We, Triune God, amuse ourselves very much in issuing from us, Triune God, new images of ourselves. That's humanity living in the divine will. And we are in continuous act of forming our images, so much so that heaven and earth are filled with our images. There our shadows flow everywhere. So here God is showing to us that he is the Lord. The sun is our image, and its light is the shadow of ours that overshadows all the earth. The heavens are our image that extend everywhere and carry the shadow of our immensity. See, this is why creation is ours. We see God in everything. Man is in our image, who carries within himself our divine power, our divine wisdom, our divine love. So we, Triune God, do nothing other than continuously produce our images that resemble us, Triune God. Now, the soul who must live in our divine will, living in our divine womb, must form many other copies of ourselves together with us. She must be together with us in our work. She must let copies and shadows of us come out of herself, filling the whole earth and heaven. That's our job. Repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Now, this has an asterisk next to it because this is essential. Volume 14, 7, 10, 22. Now, it is necessary, Louisa, that you rise and carry with you my life, my divine will, so that my volition of the earth and that of heaven may fuse together, and you may live life for some time in the womb of the divinity. He says to Louisa, you're going to come to heaven, where your will, your human will, shall be acting in mine, and so be able to expand it as much as a creature can be capable of. You're going to do everything that a human needs to do while you're in heaven. And then, listen to this, Louisa, you shall descend again upon earth. Louisa, you will be bringing the power and the prodigies of my divine will on earth in such a way that mankind, humanity, will be shaken. Have you heard that before? That's in the book of Revelation. And they shall open their eyes, and many shall begin, another translation says, to know what it means to live in my divine will. When we see Louisa, many will begin to know what it means to live in the divine will. We have no idea yet how magnificent this is. But when we see a soul possessing this gift, a human born of original sin possessing this gift, we're going to understand what it means to live in the divine will. To live in the divine likeness of their God. This, listen to this, shall be the beginning of the coming of my kingdom upon earth. This is the beginning. This is that great day that's coming. What is that great day? This shall be the beginning of the coming of my kingdom upon earth and the final fulfillment of my divine will. Finally, one human, has this gift, possesses it inside and out. That great day is close, and God is asking us to get ready. So we'll end with a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be back in 15 minutes.